I say today is a celebration of women. Amen. There you go. Thanks, Butch. Thank you. There we go. Points for Butch. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for the women in your life? Thank you, ladies, for saying amen. Wow, this is a tough crowd this morning. How many are thankful for the ladies in your life today? Hallelujah. You are here today because somebody birthed you. So, amen. Thank you for that. Great amen. Hallelujah. Love you, Mom. Sorry, right? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm thankful for the women of this house. I'm thankful for the women in my life. I'm thankful for the women that I am in contact with daily. Amen. Guy Rice Dowd once said that we are molders of dreams. And that can be a good thing or a bad thing, but he said in the most sense that everybody that we come in contact with, we have an opportunity to mold something or to shape them in some way in their life. Amen? So how many are thankful this morning for women who have been in your life that have molded you, that have imparted to you, who have sown something into you, who have supported you, who have held you? And you know, that person may not have been your mom, and that's okay. How many know sometimes it may be a neighbor, it may be grandma, it may be an aunt, it may be somebody who was just instrumental in your life that was a voice of encouragement to you, or was a voice of strength to you, or was powerful in your life. Amen? And so I'm always greatly honored to give honor to the people who have had an impact on my life. Amen? In all of the areas of my life. Of course, my mom, I'm blessed to have my mom with us today, the matriarch of this house, Pastor Bishop Shirley Hiles, that is part of this house. We are here today because of their vision and because of their heart and because they were spiritual mothers and fathers, amen, and birthed us to this place. And so I honor her as a woman of God, and I honor her as a mom, and I honor her as my friend, amen. And I also stand here today to thank women like her and Miss Nana and Miss Ollie Phillips and Valerie Robinson and different women, Sister McLean, Sister Smith, Sister Eckel, some of those who were godly women in my life and who pioneered the way for me to be where I am here today. Amen. Their journey did not come probably as smoothly as mine did. And I say that in the fact that they hit way more obstacles. They had way more roadblocks than I did. They were women preachers, women ministers, and women pastors when women pastors weren't cool. Amen? I mean, in some places it's still not. And that's okay, wherever you are in all of that. I mean, they pioneered the way to make it my transition into something like this a lot smoother. And so I honor women who paid the price and, withstood the criticism and withstood the barriers and the obstacles and overcome them. Amen? Yeah. So that we could have an opportunity to do what we do today. And I'm thankful for the women of this house. I'm thankful for the men of the house today, too. But let me just honor the women for a little bit today. I'm thankful for all the heart and the giving of the women of this house that truly are strong pillars and the strength a lot of times of the nurturers of what happens with our children and a lot of the things that are taken care of in our house that are done by women. And sometimes those things are done by nameless women. You know, something hit me the other Sunday when I was ministering on King David. Everybody remember we ministered last Sunday on King David and the sword of Goliath and the cave of Adullam and how his father called him in and they wanted to anoint the king, and they finally got down to little David and they found out that David was the king and they brought him back in and at the point I didn't share this last Sunday, but it was very powerful to me and I have shared it with a couple people. But the scripture says that David, when he came back in after slaying the Philistine, after slaying the giant, Saul calls for him and says, "Abner, go find out who this young man is and find out where he came from. And I love this because the scripture says, and David came into the court of King Saul with the hand of Goliath, with the head of Goliath in his hand. Now that is something powerful to me, because when he called him in, he did not come in by himself, but he came out in with a memorial and a trophy and a witness of the faithfulness of God in his life. And you know, sometimes we've got to walk into situations in our life. You may be facing things in your life that seems like a Goliath. It may seem like it's insurmountable. It may seem like it's challenging your faith. It may seem like it's bigger than you are. But I mean, sometimes you got to grab a hold of the head of Goliath and walk into the midst of Saul and say, here I stand, and here is the evidence of what God has done in my life. I'm holding my Goliath's head in my hand. My God has been faithful. Hallelujah. I mean, it may be a job interview. It may be a family situation. It may be health or situations you're facing in your body. But I want you to know you can walk into that situation today with the head of Goliath in your hand. Amen. To the point that Saul looked at him and said, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Hallelujah. He said, I'm the son of Jesse. But I love in that scripture when he goes on over into the cave of Adullam. And I never really paid a lot of attention to this before, but the scripture says that when David's in the cave of Adullam, and remember we talked about 400 men came to him, discontented, discouraged, in debt, 400 men in a bad mood in a cave all at one time. Amen. Thank God for his faithfulness. Amen. Hallelujah. But David became an atmosphere changer. But one of the things he does in that, he says, he takes his father and his mother to a safe place. He said, can you protect my mother and my father and my family? He takes them to a safe place. Can anybody in here this morning tell me who David's mother was? Because we don't know. There are some speculations. There are some thoughts as to who it was. But how many know there was an unnamed mama somewhere in the lineage of David? What I want to say to you this morning, you might not ever have your name in lights. People may not know your name for generations to come, but somewhere, someplace, David had a mama who sowed into his life in some way or in some means, amen, who made him the person that he was. Hallelujah. And you know, as I said before, if it was not, you know, it may not be a mama in your life. It may be somebody who's just a good soul that has a good heart that's willing to invest a little bit of time in you. Amen. As I said before, I'm thankful for all the people in my life who've been able to make deposits in my life. And you know, we sometimes don't celebrate the unnamed women enough. How many know what was the name of Samson's mama? Mrs. Manoah, for the best we know of. It just says Manoah's wife. We don't know her name. But how many know the commandment came to her first, that he would be a Nazarite from his mother's womb, and that he would not drink strong drink, and she would not have any partakers of the vine? How many know she was the one who was responsible for getting him here in a Nazarite manner? We may not ever know her name. Hallelujah. But how many know there was a mama somewhere there, unnamed, who was instrumental in being a person who got Samson to where he was? Hallelujah. I mean, you know, sometimes the best accolades, the best honors, and the best things that we receive are not the things that are trophies that sit on the shelf. They're not numbers on a piece of paper that go into a bank account. Those are not the most important things in our lives. Those are not the trophies that we have. Those are not the successes. But every time that we have opportunity to sow into a life of a child in whatever way. How many know every day there's opportunities as children come past us or as people. How many know adults are just big kids in big bodies? And sometimes they need just as much encouragement, just as much strength, just as much gentle touch, just as much healing, just as much empowerment as little guys do. But how many know we have the opportunity when we come into the lives of people to sow goodness into their life, to sow encouragement into their life? Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking about sometimes we, even in just how we reflect of things. How many know sometimes we've got to let go sometimes of the failures and reflect on the successes of things? Hallelujah. You know, I remember the teacher talking about the little boy who took the quiz and he wanted to know how he did. She said, well, you didn't get them all wrong. You know, he got one or two right, you know, and she encouraged him on the positive things. How many know sometimes you got to find some positive things to speak into the people's life, whether you're a boss, whether you're in charge of multitudes or a handful. How many know how we lead will dictate how people respond to you and how they view you? And you know, and as Christians, we have an opportunity and a responsibility to be godly in all areas of our life. Amen? And as we do that, we have the opportunity to sow seeds of kindness and goodness and greatness everywhere that we go. Hallelujah. I want to go to Hebrews 11 this morning. A scripture that just kind of kept going over in my head yesterday. Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe that this morning? The scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. How important is faith to us today? And I'm not talking just about faith to move mountains or faith to heal the sick. I'm talking about a faith that believes in God. In other words, your faith, your systems of beliefs, that is a structure that sets a precedent for the generations to come. How many believe you can inherit faith? Amen. Now we're pondering for a minute. That you can inherit faith. And by that, what I mean is by a legacy and a generational. How many know God is a generational God? And his promises are to your generations, to your seed and your seed's seed. How many are glad that it's not just about you, but it's about the generations to come? Hallelujah. Whether they are birthed out of your loins or whether they're birthed out of somebody else's loins, we have opportunity today to change nations. Do you believe that? We have opportunities right here, right now, today to change nations. Hallelujah. As we speak out of this house, Caleb is in Bangladesh. How many know he will be touching nations? You may not have birthed him out of your loins, but you've had an impartation into his life. And as this man and woman have birthed him out of his loins, how many know you had an opportunity to sow into that and touch the nations of the world today with the gospel and with the faith? An unfeigned faith. Hallelujah. And so I ask you to cover him with your prayers this week. That God will instruct him. That God will lead him. And that not just when he leaves Bangladesh, the people will be changed. But when Caleb leaves Bangladesh, he will be changed. How many know the experience that we have in missions most oftentimes are more powerful to us than they are to them. Hallelujah. And the power of God to use us in every area. Hallelujah. And so we all become motors of dreams. We all become motors of who we are in our faith and that system of belief. But it says, and without that system of belief, without that faith, it is impossible to please God. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, or a reverential fear or respect, prepared an ark, and I love this, to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. How many know the scripture says by faith Noah built an ark to the saving of his household? And that scripture kept going over and over in my heart and in my spirit yesterday. But how many know our faith is like building a boat. It's a means of building a boat that is an ark of saving for our household. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm not just talking about a literal natural boat. I'm talking about a structure or a household of faith that we build from beginning, from the first breath of that little one that's laid in your arms. How many know you have an opportunity from the first breath, from that moment that you held that little baby in your arm, to build a boat of faith, to build a structure of faith that will work to the saving of your household? Hallelujah. One of the number one things I can tell you today for families and for people is find your faith. Find that place in God where you begin to build structures, and that structure can be built out of a whole lot of things. But how many know we build a boat to the saving of our households? Not with nails and not with gopher wood and not with all of those kind of things. But how many know we build a household of faith? We build a safety net. We build a structure. We build a system of beliefs that will work for you in the saving of your household. I have people come to me from time to time and says, what would be the number one thing you would say is the key for raising great kids? Or what would be your advice to a parents for raising great kids? Or what's the secret to raising great kids? I said, it's not a secret. And there is no trick to do it. But the number one factor in their life will be that they come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And that you build a system and a strength and a structure of faith that even when they don't know what direction to go, there's the power of the Holy Ghost that can speak to them in times where mama and papa don't have their ear. The Holy Ghost can have their ear. The Holy Ghost can have their heart. And things that they have been taught from their youth up. The scripture declares if you'll train them up in the way that they should go when they're old, they will not depart from it. And it may seem at times like they want to wander and stray from that which you have taught them or what you have thought to be the strength or maybe the path you thought they should go. But I come to tell you today that the promises of God are yes and amen. And he promised, if you'll train them, I'll take care of them. If you'll tell them, I'll help you. I'll teach them. I'll direct their paths. Hallelujah. How many know there's sometimes, I watched that show yesterday, as Jochebed put her baby in that basket and sent him down the Nile River. Amen? How many know she had two choices? She could be selfish and hold him and try to hide him and risk his life. Or she could pray over him, trust God, and release him to the Nile. And although that it seemed like he might dwell in the camp of the Egyptians for a while, I'm going to tell you this morning, it may seem like your children dwell in the camps of Egyptians for a while, but I'm going to tell you, in their heart is the heart of a Hebrew. And so he knew he was never Egyptian. He knew he was Hebrew blood, and he knew he was chosen and purposed. How many know her decision and her choices affected nations of the earth? Hallelujah. What if Jochebed had decided not to do what God had commanded? What if she'd have decided to make another choice? Nations of the earth can be affected, I believe, by being obedient to what God speaks to you in your life. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. We don't know what God might do with the lives of those we entrust to him. I love the scripture, and we may get to it here in a minute, I think. And it says, for I have believed and am persuaded. I am convinced that he is able to keep what? That which I have committed unto him against that day. How many know there's some things you need to commit to him and you need to leave them there? Hallelujah. How many know Jochebed had to make a choice to commit Moses to the hand of God? Hallelujah. There's sometimes in our kids and in our families and things like that, you got to pray over them. You got to bless them. You got to anoint their bedroom. You got to put the blood on the doorpost. You got to talk. You got to do whatever it is you got to do. But there's a point when you say, okay, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, do what you do. Hallelujah. Lead and guide them into all truth. How many know there is no little Holy Ghost? There is no big voice of God and little voice of God. If God is able to speak to me as a child, how many know he's able to speak to your children? He's able to speak to my children. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Hallelujah. But when we build a boat for the saving of our household, I believe he's talking there about building that household of faith. Building a place of safety, an ark of safety. Hallelujah. Maybe it's modeling the behaviors. How many know your children will learn best by what they see, not so much by what they hear? Amen. What they see modeled to them. If you want it, teach it. Hallelujah. So often, you know, we think, well, they don't know how to do that, or every time I send them to do that, they don't do it right. Model it. Teach it until they get it right. Amen? How many know sometimes we just need to slow down and be patient enough and say, you know what, maybe I just need to show them. Maybe I need to teach them how to do this. Amen? Instead of being frustrated and say, it's just easier to do it myself. Come on, am I the only mom in my house? Sometimes it's easier just go ahead and do it yourself than it is to take the time and invest and say, they're not going to, my husband has a famous saying. He says, you're not going to learn this any younger. He's told my kids that since the day they were, you know, practically since the day where you're not going to learn it any younger, so you might as well learn it today. You're good. This is the way, you know. And so sometimes, you know, there is no rewind button. You don't go back and redo it. You get to start from where you are. You're not going to learn things any younger. But how many know it is our responsibility to teach? It is our responsibility to instruct, to model behaviors that we want to see. Do they see you overcoming obstacles? And how do you deal with overcoming those things? Do they see your faithfulness? Do they see your giving? Do they see your hard work? Do they see your integrity? Do they see a level of commitment? Hallelujah. I mean, no, it may not seem like they get it, but they get it. Hallelujah. Joy and I were laughing this morning. Mirror, mirror on the wall, I have become my mother after all. Amen. All those years, and I love it. Yes, that's an honor to say that. But all those years that you said, when I get old, when I have children, I am not going to say that. I am not going to do that. And I am not going to. And then you find yourselves doing that, and you say, did that just come out of my mouth? I opened my mouth, and my mother came out. And that can be a good thing. Hallelujah. But let me know, it's not even just about even our own household. Hallelujah. It's not even just about our own children. Again, we have the lives of people in our hands every day. You may work in medicine. You may work in education. You may work in different systems, whether it be whatever the system or the places that you're in. How many know you have opportunity to brighten somebody's day? You can either add to the trouble or the toils of the day, or you can be an atmosphere changer as David was. How many know in our household, somebody in that house some days has to be an atmosphere changer? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, you'll never be sorry for giving up your time to work and to help somebody with other things. It's been the best years of my life to just reach out and have that happen. It was an awesome day. I mean, I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Amen.
But it was worth it all. And the things you do, I was thinking a bit ago about how my life was. Run off with the shotgun and all of that stuff as a little
to where he's brought you to today. Amen. It really does work. It really does work.
Yes,
amen.
Works.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It really does work. The power of faith, the power of God to change and transform our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. How many can say you're here today and you are who you are because of the power of God in your life to change generations, to change, you know, your to change way back the line. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God for when he stepped in, hallelujah, to the course of our history and changed lives and changed directions. Hallelujah. The power of God to transform lives. Hallelujah. We can't underestimate that. Hallelujah. But we have an opportunity to build that boat to the saving of our household and to build that household of faith. Hallelujah. How many know faithfulness matters?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Faithfulness matters. If you think it doesn't matter whether you are faithful or you think it doesn't matter whether, we model those things. Faithfulness matters. It pays. Hallelujah.
Because, you know, there's been over the years people that, you know, you'd think, well, you know, I don't know if that family will make it or not. But you keep praying and you keep trusting. And then one of those families one day said, lead your child to God or lead your family to the Lord. And it's worth every bit of effort. And whatever it is, the cost is, it's worth it all.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking as you were talking about the saving of our house. You know, I don't know if you guys were more afraid of Dad than you were of God, but one but you knew when he said something, he meant it. You knew that when he did something, he did it in love, you know. And he could get rough with you if you give him a hard time. And you could go around the room probably and ask a couple, and they'll tell you, yeah, you can't. I won't put any names on that. But I'll tell you.
It was Lynn.
But I'm telling you one thing, that what you do in your own life is not just for you. You know, when we started this work and this ministry, I would have never dreamed in a million years that it would have went as far as it has gone. But this ministry has been around the world. Around the world. Can you even imagine that? Or fathom that? And like you said, people say, well, you know, what was your secret? How did you raise such good kids? Well, I didn't. The Lord did. Like you said, we just lived it before him. We took them to church. When they said, we don't want to go to church, we said, well, you don't like to go to school either, but we're going both places. And so, you know, it was the example, the teaching, you know, the life that you live. It don't take a genius. It just takes walking after Jesus. That's all.
Amen. To build a boat. Yep. We just build a boat. We just build a boat to the saving of the household. Amen. Who in the world builds a boat when it's not raining? Who in the world builds a boat when it's never rained? Except a man of faith that says, this may seem like the craziest thing ever, but this is what God said, and that's what I'm going to do. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And so he built a boat. How many know it takes faith to build a boat when it's never rained? It takes faith to build a boat when everybody else's voice says, this is crazy, Noah. You're crazy, Noah. You know, when people say, what in the world's a boat? Amen? Hallelujah. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, sometimes it takes faith to believe God beyond what you see. It takes faith to believe God for the impossible. It takes God to believe past the voices that says you're past your day, you're past your prime. You just don't have it in you anymore, Abraham. Sarah, it's just not ever going to happen for you. You don't have it in you. I'm here to tell you this morning, if the voices have said to you, you don't have it in you anymore, faith speaks louder than what your body says. Faith speaks louder than what your mind says. And the promises of God are yes and amen. And what I love about this, the scripture says that Sarah laughs. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, sometimes you just got to go throw your head back and go ahead and have yourself a good laugh. Go ahead and have yourself a belly giggle because the promises of God are yes and amen. Hallelujah. And so rather to cry over it, she chose to laugh about it. How many know in her laughter, she brought forth an Isaac whom she named Laughter. Isaac's name means laughter because God has called me, has caused me to laugh. God has caused me to rejoice. Hallelujah. God has given me back my laughter. Hallelujah. How many know they believed God beyond a day that even they would see with their own natural eyes? Amen. Abraham and Isaac had to believe God beyond a day that they would see even with their own natural eyes that God would bring to pass the promises that he had promised him. Hallelujah. Go ahead and put up 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 18, if you would. Second Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 3, it says, "And I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." I mean, no, this is Paul exhorting Timothy in this scripture. And he's stirring up the gift of God that's in Timothy. He's laying hands on Timothy. He is commissioning Timothy. He is imparting into Timothy. He is mentoring Timothy. I mean, we don't know a whole lot about Timothy's dad, other than he was a Greek. It doesn't necessarily mean it was good or bad. We just don't know a whole lot about it. But we do know beyond the father that Timothy had. How many know he had a Paul in his life? An apostle Paul who was a mentor to him that spoke into his life, that encouraged him, that drew had the ability to draw the gifting of God that was in him out of him. Hallelujah. How many know in our lives there are many people who are mentors over us or have the ability to speak into us and encourage us or see giftings and talents in us and challenge us to use those giftings and callings for the sake of the kingdom. Amen? But he does in this scripture honor his grandmother and his mother, his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. For I'm persuaded that the faith that was in your grandmother and in your mother is in you also, Timothy. Remember when I told you that faith, a household of faith, is an inherited thing? Not just your ability to believe, but your whole faith system. How many know we gain and we draw from what those ahead of us or before us have already gathered in the gospel? How many know the testimonies of the matriarchs and the patriarchs that are before us are foundational stepping stones for us to build on? Those things are powerful. How many can think in your mind this morning a testimony of maybe a mom or a grandmom or somebody like that who had faith to believe something and God moved for them? Amen? That we can build on those testimonies and those faith, those places in our life. But how many know Eunice and Lois were very instrumental in Timothy being the man that he was? And the character that Paul was looking for when he was about to commission somebody to go out and share the gospel. I mean, Paul's time is coming to an end here. He goes on here soon and says, I've fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Those of you, Timothys, are going to pick up the baton from here and go on with the message of the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. That he was able to put into the mouth of them the gospel and to share with him. And he instructs him here in the books of Timothy. It's instructions from Paul to Timothy, teaching him and exhorting him things. Hallelujah. And it says, who hath saved us and called us with the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought to life and immortality the light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. How many know he's able to keep everything that we've committed to him? What have you committed to him? Because whatever you've committed to him, he's able to keep it. Your life, amen, your children, your future, whatever it is that we commit to the hand of God, we say, Lord, I trust you with it. Hallelujah. How many know I'm learning trust more and more all the time? I'm learning to pray that way. Lord, I trust you with my health. Lord, I trust you with my future. Lord, I trust you with my purpose. I trust you with my children. Hallelujah. Being able to truly trust God to take care of and to do and to accomplish everything that he said that he would do. Amen. He's able to keep that which we have committed unto him. How many of we can commit our lives to him? We can commit our children to him, our homes to him. We commit those things, and he's able to keep them. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Jesus Christ. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he ought refresh me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Hallelujah. And Paul goes on to exhort Timothy to be a good soldier in Christ. He commands him over in verse 15 of the next verse. He says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do we really know how important understanding the word or knowing the scriptures, how important it is in our life? Amen. And this scripture is not just talking about study, you know, so that you'll be approved by God. You just keep studying, you'll eventually get approved by God, you know, for all the hard work you put into studying. But how many know what he's saying there is study to show yourself you've been approved by God, that you have God's approval. The more you study and understand, you have more God's approval. You are able to rightly divide the word of truth. Hallelujah. You have an understanding of the scriptures, how powerful it is to know the word and to know the scriptures without having your Bible with you. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you can say you memorized memory verses when you were in Sunday school, that you can still say those memory verses and you can still quote some of those, or you might have learned it in a song, or you might have sang Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and Romans, and Corinthians. That's how I find my way through there. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, where? Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, Peter, John, Jude, and Revelation. That's how I learned my way through the New Testament, to know what book comes after which book. And you know where I learned that? Sister Jenny taught me that song many years ago. That's where I learned that song at. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we learn by, your children learn in Sunday school. They're learning scriptures. They're learning songs. They're learning, you know, all of those things that are very important to them, that are building their character, that are building their lives, that are training them, teaching them to have faith. Teaching them to know God, teaching them what it means to trust God. Hallelujah. Those things are important. They're powerful. Hallelujah. And it's such a mandate, I believe, on us as adults to find every opportunity that we can to sow into the life of a child, to sow into the life of another adult, to sow into the life of another person. I don't know who it was that we were talking to just the other day, and we were talking about the penny march and how much the kids love collecting those pennies. And they're such a joyful heart when they're going around collecting your money. Amen? So that's a great thing. But how many know it teaches them to give? It teaches them to give, to have a heart to give. But one of the memories that I remember in this church was when Uncle Junior used to come here, and he would sit over here with his penny bag, but he also brought candy, so that if anybody came by him for pennies, you also got a piece of candy. And so the kids remember from just being a small child that Uncle Junior had a little something extra special for you, and they didn't pass him up when it came time for penny time, because he knew how to do something special. Hallelujah. And so, those are all good. Those are all good things. There are positive things that are a part of who we are as we grow and the years and things like that. I was thinking just a few minutes ago as Mom was sharing about, you know, you impart into the lives of others, and you never know when that life or somebody that you've imparted to may be a life that comes back to bless you ultimately someday later, or, you know, that plays into the person that you are. And I was thinking, actually, before she walked out, but Becky just walked out of the nursery back there and got a diaper, I think, or something, to take care of my grandbaby that's back there. But I remember the day as a little girl that Becky went to church with us in the big blue van that we used to have, and we would stop and pick them up, and Kathy and them would go with us to church when we went to Mount Hope over in Pennsylvania. Did we ever know at that moment that one day she would be taking care of our generations back here in a Sunday school class and be a part of this house? We didn't know that then. But God has blessed us back with her family to be a part of us here. Yes. Amen. And so the power of God, he's so faithful. The scripture says, cast your bread upon the waters and it will return to you after many days. Amen. And so we cast in a lot of ways, not even casting in the intention of thinking one of these days it'll come back, but in our casting, God is so faithful. God is so faithful to bring back to you the blessings and all of those kind of things. I said this back before, and I'll say it again just to reiterate it. Lynn has a saying that says, if you go down the road and you see a turtle on a fence post, chances are that turtle had some help getting on that fence post. Amen? And so, and I said this before, I am here today because I am a turtle on a fence post. Amen? I had some help getting to where, not here necessarily, but where I am in my life today. You know, and Sam Blair was my Sunday school teacher when I was a little girl. And so it's just And Arlene was our piano player and part of the worship team when we went to church. How faithful the goodness of God. And I could go around the room, different ones that, you know, Patsy was there when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, those were memories that go way back. Thank God for people that were faithful to pray with me. That didn't count me off, that didn't count me off as a little child and insignificant, but was able to pray with me to receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. And so if the faithfulness of God, his promises are yes and amen. Hallelujah. You don't have to look very far in your life to find his goodness and his mercy and his faithfulness in whatever way it is. Hallelujah. And so, you know, today is you know, what we call Mother's Day, but really it's a celebration of women, and it's an opportunity to find somebody who's been valuable to you in your life and just say thank you. Amen? To just say thank you to them. Over in Acts, the scripture talks again about Timothy, and it talks about where, in chapter 16, I believe it is, where Paul mentors Timothy in his life, and in his travels, they come across a woman named Lydia, and Lydia was a seller of purple, and the scripture says she was doing her business, taking care of her things, but she heard the message of the gospel. She heard the message of Jesus. She heard the gospel of Paul preached, and the scripture said, and she was saved and her household. Hallelujah. How many know she was a faithful woman, not just for herself? The gospel was not just for herself, but for her household. In the same chapter of Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas get arrested because they cast the devil out of the woman who's going after them saying crazy things, and they throw them into jail. But the scripture says while they're in jail, they begin to lift up their voice in singing and praise unto God. And as they're lifting up their voice and singing praise to God, the scripture says, and the prison doors are open and everyone's bands are loosed. So that the point that the jailer was about to fall on his own sword, and Paul says, don't harm yourself, we're all here. We're free, but we didn't even have the desire to go anywhere. Hallelujah. The presence of God was so thick and so strong in that prison house as they began to lift their voices and sing to God that it had the power to cause chains to fall off and cause prison doors to open. See, I don't think you realize that when you begin to lift up your voice and singing and praising and shouts unto God, it has the ability to cause chains to fall off, and it has the ability to cause prison doors to open. Hallelujah. And not only that, they began to witness to that jailer, but the jailer took them home, and the scripture says ministered to him, God saved, and his household got saved because somebody decided to praise God in the midst of their circumstances. Hallelujah. And not just him, but his household. Hallelujah. See, it's more than just about you. It's about the generations to come. Hallelujah. That's why it's so important. Hallelujah. It's so important that we build a boat to the saving of our household. That you build that household of faith, that structure. Amen. There's a wise man and a foolish man. And they both build a house. The difference is when the storms come, the wise man's house, who was built on the rock, will stand. But the foolish house, the foolish man's house, did not stand in the day of storms when it began to beat upon the houses. How many know storms come to our lives? Amen. Hallelujah. But a wise man will build his house upon the rock, and that rock is Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for him this morning? Aren't you thankful for that rock of safety, that rock of provision, that rock that we can build on him, that he is my rock, my strength, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Hallelujah.
You
sure is. It sure is. And you know, the beautiful thing about that is, if it hasn't been for you up to this point, it can be. Today's the day to start. It can be. You know, you can say, well, I didn't have that. But you can. The generations yet to come are relying on you for that. Amen. How many know when they crossed the Jordan River, he said, I want you to pick up stones and I want you to carry them over and I want you to make a memorial of the day that God brought you across the Jordan River on dry ground. And he said, when the generations yet to come look at those stones and say, what meaneth these stones? He's going to say, you're going to look back to a day and say, that's the day God delivered us by a mighty hand. Hallelujah. How many know the generations are looking for your pile of stones? They're looking for your memorials. They're looking for that place to look back to. We stand here today and look back to that memorial. We look back to the pile of stones. We look back to a place called Calvary and say, because of the grace of God, I am what I am. Hallelujah. The generations are waiting on us. Hallelujah. To continue that tradition. Hallelujah. How many know the scripture, even in Hebrews 11, of the great hall of faith, they get to the end of that and say, and they without us cannot be made perfect. How many know they're in the amphitheaters of heaven and the portals right now cheering us on? Hallelujah. Saying, you can do this. You can make it. Hallelujah. You have the same faith. You have an even greater faith than what those patriarchs of old knew. Amen? Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Because you have the power of the Holy Ghost also, that indwelling spirit of you. So, hallelujah. I'm thankful for today, for impartation. I'm thankful for all the moms in this house that have been spiritual mothers, not just physical mothers, but spiritual mothers to us, to those of us who need it, that impartation. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet this morning, if you would. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jim. Hallelujah. Hang on a minute, Beth. Hallelujah. Here's what I want to do. I would like, if you are a woman in this house, if you're willing to do this, if you don't want to do it, it's okay. If you're a woman in this house and you're over the age of 55, I would like you to come and sit on these two front rows right there. If you would come, do that. You can either stand or sit, whichever is most comfortable for you. Hallelujah. Any of the women that are, if you're age 55 and older, and you're willing to come and stand with us up here. Any of the women, any women. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if you're a woman in this house under the age of 55, I want you to come and stand in front of these ladies. Here, if you would. Come on up, Angie. Hallelujah. 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 And what I want to ask these ladies to do is to impart into this younger generation. I want these ladies to lay hands on these ladies and depart and impart into their lives the structure of faith, the foundation, wisdom, the love of a mother, whatever you feel led to. I want you to just minister to these ladies if they would. And I would like for the men just to kind of back them up this morning. Just pray over our ladies that are in this house. I want them to just have a moment today to just draw strength from each other. Amen. And just allow God to minister an impartation from the old to the young and from the young to the old. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.